Peter Lubo on the phone line. I remember Lou sitting at one of the morning skates with you, and we were talking about Gio, and this was early on, and you said, you know what, I think this guy's going to be an all-star. And he was a ways away from resembling any of that.
Really?
But that was one of the first times, and I give you a pat on the back, I remember that was one of the first guys I thought that came out and vocalized that this guy had some big-time promise in his game.
Well, you know, Boom, you like to think once in a while that, you know, you can see something. At the end of the day, for me, and you guys are, you know, relaying his history, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see, certainly originally, what was going to happen. I can almost vividly remember my first time watching Mark. It was at the Harry Lumley Bayshore Center in Owen Sound. He was a 20-year-old in his second year in the league. Remember, he didn't even play in the Ontario Hockey League until he was 19 years of age. But I just saw a determination, a work effort. You know, just you could see that this guy, you know, had something special. Just a determination, a want to be the best that he could be. And I'll be frank, I always like guys who have a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And I think to this day, and Mike, you tell me different. You know him better than I've been around him a lot, but you know him well as a person. I think that is still there. And I think that's been one of his driving forces, is he never takes one single day for granted. And my line, Mike, on him, if you haven't heard it, is, and I certainly can't say this about everybody I've watched play hockey, I've, from that first time in Owen Sound to the last game of this past season, never once have I left a rink and thought, this guy didn't empty everything out of the tank every night I've ever watched him. Now, does he have better nights than others? Of course. But that, you know, there's just something about watching him go about his business, even back then, that, you know, I didn't know he was ever, I wouldn't have told you, I'd be completely lying if I told you I thought he was going to win a Norris Trophy someday, but I thought he had a chance to play for a long time and be a good player.
Well, you were definitely right, and I agree with you. You know, he definitely works hard every night. I haven't seen him, even when I play with him, like, this kid works. Yeah, every game wasn't great, but that's the same thing like that for everybody. Not every game is going to be awesome, but he does show up, and I do agree. I think Daryl Sutter's, like, kind of philosophy back then a little bit was, you know what, we're going to grab, I'm going to sign two or three, whatever, four undrafted free agents, sign them to, like, three-way contracts or have, like, I think Gio's deal when he signed, I think, I could be wrong, but I don't even know if it was an NHL deal. I think it might have been, like, a American League, East Coast League. I could be, it was either a three-way deal or a two-way deal like that.
Because I remember they've
even been a three-way deal.
Three-way, yeah, okay.
Because, Lou, who was it? I remember that one off season, the Flames brought in some defensemen to their rookie camp or to their development camp, and it was Dennis Wideman, it was Mark Giordano, and there was one, was it Richie Regeer?
Sounds like it would be right.
Yeah.
That might have been, like, right around my first full year in Calgary, which would have been 08-09. So yeah, that sounds like it would be right.
Man, it's a great story. Anyway,
awesome story.
One of the reasons we were calling you was to get your thoughts on last night's game. Another victory for the Calgary Flames. They beat the Oilers rookies 3-1. Shots very lopsided, 43-19, but I want to ask you about Dustin Wolf. You hope this turns into another one of those great stories. Kid goes to the NHL draft. Colby and I were talking about it earlier this morning. The poor kid sits through all of round one and then two, three, four. Don Cherry always says, don't go to the draft. I couldn't believe the kid was there, and I mean, you got to have a cold heart if you didn't feel great for that young man to finally get his name called and be able to walk down and put a jersey on. Thoughts on him and his play last night?
Well, I had a conversation a couple of days ago with Flames goaltending coach Jordan Strigalette, and he raved to me about Dustin's intelligence and his ability to read the game and understand and thus anticipate. Because remember, guys, he's barely 6 feet. Listed at 6 feet, 165 pounds. So in this day and age of the 6'3", 6'4", certainly 6'2", goalie, you know, when you're a little undersized, you better anticipate even better. You better be able to make yourself big in the net. And I thought he was very calm, composed. Now, to have the kind of numbers that he's put up his first 2 years in Everett are astounding. He's won 51 games. His combined save percentage over 2 years is right around 930. That's 930 as a 16 and a 17-year-old. Let's face it, even in this day and age for a goalie, if you see any time as a goalie when you're 16 or 17, in the Western League, you're pretty good, let alone put up those numbers. I went to Plymouth, Michigan for the World Junior Summer Showcase. Had a chance to watch him a couple of times there play for the United States. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to like. Now, when you're only that size, it gets more difficult against, you know, when he's going to face down the road the best shooters on planet Earth. But hockey IQ really matters. And to be honest, it's one thing, gents, as goalies, we probably don't talk often enough about. But who needs to understand and feel the game and see the game in some ways better than a goalie? But how often do we talk about hockey IQ with guys between the 4x6? Well, according to Jordan, he has it in spades. And I think that's what's allowed him, you know, even in junior already, to do some of the terrific things that he's done.
Yeah, I think that's a great, great pick. I'm looking at his numbers right now, and you're right, they are amazing. I have another question for you, Lou. I'm hearing good things about this Adam Rzyczka. Rzyczka. I don't know a whole lot about him. Can you fill me in?
I can, Mike. He's from Slovakia. He's played at two World Juniors for his home country. He's had big numbers the last couple of years in the Ontario Hockey League, primarily in Sarnia. Last year, he ended up getting traded near or at the deadline. He had 80-plus points. Now, here's been the word on Adam Rzyczka: consistency. 6'4", 210 pounds. He's turned 20 years of age. And last night, the first time in his time with the Flames that I watched and went, now I get it. Now, I mean, you could see the size. You could see the way he shoots it. There was a lot of tools. But the knock on him, and even have had lots of conversations with my good pal Sam Cosentino, who does such a great job with junior hockey at Sportsnet, and it's been consistency and the drive. Can you just pick it up a little bit and do it more often? Well, last night, Mike, was the first time that I watched this big centerman. He was involved. He moved his feet. He made good plays with a puck. He can shoot it. First time personally for me where I've watched in person and went, this guy has a chance to play in the league. And I'm not sure with my in-person viewings prior to last night, I would have said that before.
Some kids, it takes a while to get there, right?
And you
hope that's the case. But for some of those guys who have just been naturally so much bigger and stronger than their opponents, they haven't had to put in the extra work. They haven't had to dig in that extra. He's in a spot where he's going to have to now. He's blessed with that size. Now it's about putting the work in.
It is, and he has the skill, too. It's just the motor, from all accounts, and people who have watched him far more than I have on a regular basis. You know, before last night, in personal viewings, there would be two or three shifts a game where you go, yep, I get it. I see it. It's there. And then you just go too long without seeing it again. Last night, from the start of the night to the end of the night, he was a force. He was certainly noticeable. He was involved. He made things happen. So, you know, and he was a fourth-round pick in 2017. That's an exciting potential player. And, you know, now they have Mark Jankowski. But it's, you know, the Flames have struggled. It certainly, you know, sizes and everything, and it's probably not in the sport what it once was. But you can have somebody who's 6'4", who has a lot of tools and, you know, has some physicality to him. I don't mind a guy down the middle at 6'4".
No, definitely not. Can he skate?
Yeah. I mean, he's not a burner.
No, but for his size.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I never look at him and go, you know, I think he still needs work and still needs to get stronger and continue to work at it. He's not a burner, but I never feel like, you know, he doesn't have the ability to get there.
Yeah, he's not falling behind.
No.
Any other observations that popped out?
Yeah. One other guy who I really, really liked, and that was Glenn Godden. Scored early, incredibly savvy young man, understands the game, had a good first year in pro in Stockton, really had a quality second half, ended up with 38 points. And Boom, the thing about him is, and you know, I put a lot of stock in guys on their way up and how good they are and in difficult situations. Well, you go back to his 20-year-old year in Swift Current, 125 points, 32 in the playoffs, was the Western Hockey League playoff MVP. You know, I did a game. Swift Current and Moose Jaw were basically the two best teams in the league that year, and they were in the same division, and they met, as it turned out, in the second round. Well, and Moose Jaw arguably was a more talented team from top to bottom. And Glenn's will, his skill, and just leadership, and his ability to win faceoffs, be physical, score big goals. You know, he was outstanding in that series. He was outstanding in the entire playoffs, and then made his way to the Memorial Cup with two bad shoulders. You know, he was done at that point in time. Came to development camp, and I could tell. I mean, that's not the guy I've been watching, but, you know, the former St. Louis Blue fourth rounder, he's another guy. I'm not going to say it's going to be this year, but he's going to play. I just think he's going to be a bottom six, you know, centerman who's going to win draws. He'll give you good leadership. Even Kyle McLean talked last night about the difference he's seen in him, not just on the ice with his maturity, but how he is at the bench. And, you know, Mike, you played for a long, long time. Leadership is something that is not for everybody, and yet it is really, really important. And he seems to have that in spades.
How was the media? I mean, you go around the horn. Francis, Jermaine Franklin, Kristen Anderson. Is everybody in mid-season form, or do some people need to pick their game up?
Well, I'm not going to – I don't know if anybody needs to pack their you-know-what. at this point in time, listen, I'm just trying to – you know, I'm in preseason form myself. I'm trying to get my game together, you know, be focused. Be the best you can be and let everybody – I spent way too much time in my career worried about everybody else. I'm going to start focusing on this guy.
All right. Well, fair enough. Lots of time. It's early. Veterans report tomorrow.
A lot of time put in. Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep,
okay,
thanks, Lou.
Guys. Have a great day.
There you go. Peter Labardius.